Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Sundance Television sheds a dramatic spotlight on a nation's medical nightmare later this week. Unspeakable, a 2-9 miniseries kicking off Thursday, details the spread of HIV, AIDS, and hepatitis C in Canada in the 1980s. Executive producer, writer, and co-director Robert Cooper joins me next. Also ahead, Discovery sets up a natural history service for smart TV sets and devices, Apple TV takeaways, and our second classic trivia winner in a row. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum. No April Fool here. Simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker and present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, it's April, and tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get 3 free audiobooks when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Good to have you with us on this first day of April, no fooling or kidding aside, and we welcome you to the program All About Television. 44 degrees, top of the hour, stock market going sky high. Hi, Dow Jones Industrial Average up 300 points. NASDAQ up over 100. It's that kind of a day on Wall Street. And we are inviting you to be part of today's program. Good guests coming away over the next hour. And here's how you get involved. Give us a call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The numbers get anywhere. Catch us across the country, around the world, here on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker. If you're not into the phone, try the chat room. SimonApple04 by name. You will find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk or Speaker screen. Follow the instructions and other people can be live with you. Robert Cook is from Vancouver, Canada. He'll join us after these news notes. Discovery, Inc. will start a nature-oriented programming service worldwide next year. It will be offered through smart TV sets and TV tech devices, and the service will present first-run archive series on nature and natural history topics from the BBC. Discovery will contribute original library content from its catalog to this venture, and in a related agreement, BBC Studios and Discovery Channel will co-produce several original series for worldwide release. Now, some quickies before we get to our guests. Home and Garden Television's reboot of Extreme Maker Home Edition has been moved to 2020. Its long-awaited macabre comedy, Dead to Me, will debut on Netflix May 3rd. Christine Applegate and Linda Carnelli co-star. CBS will continue its presentation of professional bull riding events weekend afternoons through 2028. And one of the best in his field, famed animation TV composer Maury Laws of Rankin Bass fame, has passed away. Involved with production house Rankin Bass from the start, Laws died last Thursday in Appleton, Wisconsin. He was 95, and he was one of the best at his craft. You look at such great holiday specials as Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Santa Claus is Coming to Town. He wrote original music. He also wrote some of the songs in many of those Christmas and holiday specials. Once again, Maury Laws passed away before last weekend at the age of 95. And that is news notes for today. In 1993, HBO presented a challenging and critically acclaimed film, and the fans played on. It was the first major television movie, and for that matter, first major television program, period, to deal with the spread of HIV and AIDS here in the United States during the 1980s. At the same time that era happened, there was something going on in Canada, even more of a medical nightmare. It wasn't just HIV and AIDS. It was also the outbreak of hepatitis C. And now that whole period has been documented dramatically in a new Sundance Television miniseries that will premiere this Thursday and Friday night. It's called Unspeakable. And joining us live from Vancouver, Canada, is the writer, the executive producer, and the co-director of this miniseries. He is also known for such great shows as Stargate SG-1, which had a wonderful run on both Showtime and Sci-Fi, and more recently, the BBC America hit Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency. Pleasure to welcome this program for the first time, Robert C. Cooper. Robert, welcome in.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
And a pleasure to have you as well, Robert. And I know that this particular project is a very big one for you.
Yeah, I was a victim of the Tainted Blood tragedy up here in Canada. I was born with a bleeding disorder called hemophilia, and I was a young man at the time that the blood system was essentially being infected with HIV and Hep C, and was at the highest risk. I lived through it, and so you know, when I first pitched the show, I think people felt I was perhaps qualified to tell the story.
When Aaron Spelling and company made And the Band Played On for HBO, it was the first time that people really got to see what HIV and AIDS was like, especially among the people who had it contracted, who were killed from it, and who were friends of people who were able to survive from that condition. What did you want to say in this miniseries, whether it was similar to or different from what End of Band Played On said?
Well, I mean, there are big differences between that story and the story we're telling. We wanted to focus on, first of all, the Tainted Blood tragedy was a tragedy because in many ways it was preventable. What happened with AIDS, AIDS was a disease that came on quickly. People really didn't know what it was, and certainly the stigma and prejudice directed at the communities affected by it were terrible and led to much more widespread problem than need be. But it, you know, in Canada there was a denial of the danger of those diseases infecting the blood system to an extent that thousands of people were infected unnecessarily, and so, you know, we wanted to not only focus on why a disaster like this happened, why bureaucracies sometimes make these choices that put people's lives at risk, but we also wanted to look at it from the point of view of victims over a long period of time. I mean, these are things that affect people for their lives, you know, their entire lives. And so while the story starts in 1982, it actually spans more than 30 years. So you're getting a really detailed look at how these people's lives were changed over a great deal of time by this sort of thing. And you know, I sort of described it as a lot of shows related to disasters or diseases deal with it more like a murder. You know, the murder has happened and we have to figure out what happened and why. But in this case, you know, it affects the families. It affects everyone involved over a great deal of time. You're looking at people fighting for compensation in order to live. There was a 5-year RCMP investigation, a criminal trial. There was a massive federal inquiry in which people were finally given the platform to actually tell their stories. It was quite a big deal, and people, frankly, are still suffering. The survivors are dealing with either co-infections or infections from either HIV or Hep C, and you know, and dealing with their treatments and how it's affected their lives.
Why did it take so long for the Canadian bureaucracy to come to grips with this? What did they do or not do that expanded this tragedy?
Well, initially there was a lot of misunderstanding about the disease. At first people didn't even know it was a virus. I mean, it's very easy to look back at history with 20/20 vision and say, oh, well, that makes perfect sense, or why didn't we know that? But it, as it was emerging, there was really very little known about it. But, you know, there's this tendency, or was this tendency at the time, to want to find absolutes in the science, to say this is absolutely what's going to happen before we spend, you know, a lot of money. We were consistently behind the U.S. You know, one of the things I guess I'm hoping is that, American audiences will want to see a story about Canada being a little less than perfect with all the sort of stuff that's going on in the U.S. now. People may want to, see that their neighbors to the north aren't quite as as perfect as we're always made out to be. What happened was officials really didn't put in place the sort of precautions that would keep the blood system safe, screening procedures, pamphlets, actual testing once that became available. And once that sort of, once they fell behind, they also just didn't want to then own up to the responsibility for having made those bad decisions in the first place. I mean, the most, you know, the really the most heinous highlights, this was obviously a tragedy that sort of slowly unspooled over the better part of a decade. But some of the highlights are that, you know, in 1984, when there was a procedure that eliminated HIV, was heat treating the products that were being given to hemophiliacs, they didn't want to spend the money to import that newer, safer product, and they knowingly distributed AIDS-tainted blood. And, you know, that's a major feature of one of the big sort of revelations in the show. And then a little bit later on, there was an American corporation whose procedure was somewhat flawed, and again, you know, people who kind of thought they were safe ended up actually getting AIDS when they shouldn't have.
The name of the program is Unspeakable. It's a two-night miniseries that is premiering on Sundance TV this Thursday and Friday. And the time is very interesting. It is on the West Coast, that's Pacific time, at 9 p.m. It is on the East Coast at midnight. And that's for both nights, Thursday and Friday. We're speaking with Robert Cooper.
Yeah, actually, I just wanted to mention to you, I noticed that you had said on your website that it was a two-part miniseries, but it's actually eight parts. We're just premiering on April 4th and 5th, but then the following week will be the next two episodes, and that'll sort of go on from like that for 4 weeks. So there's actually eight parts.
Got it. All right, great, Robert. Thank you for the additional info. I really appreciate that. So anyway, first two episodes are this Thursday and Friday, and again, it's 9 p.m. Pacific time, midnight Eastern time, both Thursday and Friday. Robert Cooper is with us. He's the executive producer, the writer, and the co-director of this important miniseries, and he's with us live from Vancouver, Canada, this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Appelbaum with you live from New York. Thanks for joining us on this first day of April, April Fool's Day, of course, 2019. 44 degrees, top of the hour here in New York. If you have a question or a comment for Robert, don't be shy. Make the ring, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Friday on Tomorrow Be Televised, we'll speak to the creators of a very gritty series that just got three Daytime Emmy Award nominations for acting. The show is called Bronx SIU. It runs on the Urban Movie Channel. That's another one of the programming services you can find on smart TV sets and smart devices. It's created by Bob Johnson, the former creator of BET, and our guests will be the creators of this series, Dan Garcia and Michael Mayhall, and Dan just recently picked up a second series that will premiere on Urban Movie Channel this summer. We'll talk about that as well. And if you are a big fan of music composed for television, be with us for the second half hour, because we got two of the very best in the business. The Emmy Award winner from Fargo and the new Netflix hit series Umbrella Academy, Jeff Russo. And if you're a This Is Us fan, you will like to hear from the person who composes the original music and songs for the series, Siddhartha Kosha. They're both coming up Friday, 3 p.m. New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Well, how long did it take for us people to get from idea in your head to actually go before the camera?
I first pitched this as a television show back in 2014. And, you know, it's interesting because I decided to do that just after I was actually cured of Hep C. I lived with it for the better part of 30 years. And, you know, I think when you're living with a disease, you the last thing you really want to do is sort of make it part of your life in every other way, as well as your personal life. And so I don't think I ever really felt like it was something I wanted to delve into from a storytelling perspective. But once I was very, you know, thankfully after my third treatment cured of the disease, I started to sort of think about it more in terms of as a story that I think really needed to be told. And And, you know, not necessarily just my story, but I started to do a lot of research into aspects that I really, even as a victim, didn't know. And, you know, this series, while it really focuses on two families who were affected by it, it also pays tribute to the people who, in reality, fought, you know, for the rights of the victims, for compensation and for justice, and the medical people who, you know, saved lives. I mean, as much as their, you know, the show does look at some of the failings of the system, within that there were people who were incredible heroes, people like Dr. Chris Tsoukas, who was on the forefront of treatment, a gentleman named Bill Mindell, who, you know, one of the characters in the show is based on him. He was sort of one of the early whistleblowers. He worked for the Department of Health in Toronto and was sort of in charge of looking after AIDS in the city, and really, really recognized the dangers, and was one of the first to really stand up and say there's a problem here and we have to do something about it. So, I mean, the show really, for me, you know, obviously it's so many people were affected by it. There are so many stories. It was virtually impossible to boil it down, but we tried and tried to come up with composite characters that reflected some of the more important figures in the story, and hopefully you get to know them in very sort of intimate and personal ways, so that this is much more than just you know, a factual account of some medical problem. This is actually a very personal story. A lot of it is, you know, is based on my own personal experience, but so much of it is also drawn from the real story, the real characters, the real people who were involved. I could go into great detail. We spent about a year and a half after that first pitch researching the show, interviewing people, including, you know, victims, nurses, doctors, Horace Creever, who was the judge who was appointed by the government to run the federal inquiry, was gracious enough to give us his time. It was an amazing experience getting to know all these people. It was actually incredible. And so, I mean, in this case, I mean, I've had other shows that obviously happened more quickly, but this one took about 4 years, 4 or 5 years. Pretty long answer to your short question.
The cast is headed by Sarah Kalias, who some people may know from her role in The Walking Dead. Before she and the rest of the cast, as well as her production team, started filming, did they have an opportunity to meet some of the people you just talked about?
I mean, it was very important to me, given obviously how personal the story was, to really get to know everyone who was going to play a key role. I met Sarah very early in the process of casting the show, and you know, she immediately told me a story about how important this was to her, and how it affected her personally, and she also immediately made it clear that she wanted to direct an episode, and I loved that, because it showed how committed she was to it, and how much it was going to be more than just a job to her, which, you know, I think everyone who worked on the show really seemed to respond that way, and it made it an amazing experience. The whole cast and crew were pretty amazing, but Sarah's commitment to it from the beginning was very clear.
Was her character, by the way, based on a specific whistleblower, or, as you said, or like a composite number of people who all had a role to play in this?
Yeah, there's two families. One of them is based on the West Coast and one on the East. The West Coast family, the father is a journalist. I mean, I you know, people ask me, well, how is this relevant today? And I think we're living in a time when journalism is being really examined and often called into question, and it's about you know, the responsibility of journalists to uncover the truth. And in this case, that character is based on a journalist who wrote ended up writing one of the books we optioned. His name's Vic Parsons. His book is called Bad Blood, The Unspeakable Truth. And he was the father of a hemophiliac. There was a second book also written by a journalist named Andre Picard. His book's called Gift of Death. Both of them, you know, admit that even as journalists whose job it was to get to the truth, they were being, you know, they had the wool pulled over their eyes. They were not being told the truth, and it took some time before that truth started to come out. I mean, so that one of the families is really, you know, representative of a composite of those characters. And then the other one, you know, as I mentioned earlier, Bill Mandel was an inspiration. He was also a father of a hemophiliac who worked in public health. And then Sarah's character, who plays Margaret Sanders, the mother of that East Coast boy, is inspired by my mom, and is certainly not literally ripped from her life, but very much inspired by. And I should mention that my mom always listens to everything that I end up doing, so she's probably listening right now. So I'm going to say hi, Mom.
I'll say that too. Hi, Mrs. Cooper, and thank you for being really great inspiration for your son to do this series.
Well, and you know, I think most people say I'm here because of my parents, but in many cases, you know, in many more respects, I think my parents deserve extra credit. Early in the show, you see some scenes where Margaret, the character played by Sarah, you know, recognizes that there's a problem. She first reads an article while her son's at the dentist, that there's a new disease that's been spreading in the U.S. and that it's quite likely transmitted by blood. And she fights to get her son on a safer blood product. That is pretty much what happened in my case, and the reason I'm here today, and in fact, you know, was one of very few people who didn't end up getting HIV. I mean, there were more than 90% of the kids that were in my position ended up getting HIV, and most of them died.
The program is Unspeakable. It's an 8-part miniseries. The first 2 parts come on this Thursday and Friday night on Sundance TV. By the way, the show is produced in association with the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, the CBC. Great organization, one of the best in the world, I might add, when it comes to doing terrific original TV series. And the first episode is this Thursday, 9 p.m. on the West Coast, that's Pacific time, midnight on the East, same thing on Friday. Robert Cooper is the executive producer, main writer, and co-director of the series, and he's with us live from Vancouver this half hour on Tomorrow We Televise. A few more minutes with him. If you have a question or comment, ring it in, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And if you are a new listener to this program All About Television, which we've been doing now for over 11 and a half years, and you want to catch up on recent episodes, we had some very good ones in March, including shows with the executive producer and creative shows like Million Dollar Mile, Hannah, and much, much more, and our special roundtable last week on the Apple TV Plus announcement. Well, if you just go to our homepage, it's available anytime you like. It's www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/television. You also check us out on podcast form on iTunes, Apple TV, or Spreaker's podcast app, and, of course, the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. You can go to iHeartRadio.com, put Tomorrow We Televise in the search bar, click, and you are in. Well, before we go, you've had a wonderful career in television with Stargate SG-1 and Dirk Gently as well. What's next for you after this project?
Sorry, can you repeat that?
I was saying that you've had a great career in television with Stargate, Long Run on Showtime and Sci-Fi here in the States. You had Dirk Gently on BBC America for 2 seasons. What's next for you in terms of projects after this?
Oh, I don't really know. I'm in sort of a development phase where I'm writing some new stuff and pitching some new stuff. But I spent the better part of 4 years focused on this and Dirk all at the same time, and I actually didn't really have a chance to look too far ahead. So I'm kind of enjoying a little bit of downtime and a chance to sort of, you know, get my bearings and think about what's next.
Mm-hmm. Before you go, what's the biggest thing that you want people watching this miniseries, no matter whether they're seeing it in Canada or in the United States or anywhere else in the world, what do you want them to know about how we can prevent this kind of medical epidemic from happening again?
Well, I mean, one of the interesting things is that it happened because of the prejudice that was being directed at the high-risk groups. And you know, I think that that pressure created silence. It's one of the reasons the show is called Unspeakable. And nowadays we have the means to speak out. Some people are still afraid to do that. You know, I think it's important that, A, we look at this show not just as an examination of a tragedy. It's a sad show, but it's also meant to be motivating and inspiring. It's meant to sort of make you feel like there are ways in which you can affect the world in a positive way. Yes, sometimes bureaucracies and institutions can be unsympathetic, but you know, you're not alone, and I think if you stand up and speak out, you can be heard, and I think that would be my, you know, hope that people take away from the show.
Unspeakable, a very important television event, and it starts this Thursday and Friday night, 9 p.m. Pacific Time, midnight Eastern Time on Sundance Television. Check your local listings where that network is available in the area on cable and satellite. And for more details about the program online, it's www.sundancetv.com. It's www.sundancetv.com. Again, first two episodes this week. The rest of the episodes will be played throughout April. Robert Cooper, thank you again for joining us. Congratulations on getting this very, very important and vital dramatic series off the ground, and I hope it really does accomplish what you want it to, as well as for your cast and crew, that we have a lot
thank
more
you so much.
Understand what's going on. And hopefully this kind of thing does not happen again.
Thank you very much. Really appreciate you helping us get the word out.
You're very, very welcome. All the greatest, Robert. Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Robert Cooper from Unspeakable joining us live from Vancouver, Canada. More tomorrow will be televised coming your way, but first some words from the fine folks at Audible.com. Sort of changing the subject for a bit, would you like to see or read about some crazy people in space? Well, a man by the name of J.S. Moran has come up with an interesting audiobook called Galaxy Outlaws. Think of this as sort of the crazy Star Trek, if you will. And you can find out about them. And all you got to do is get a trial run with Audible.com. You know, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information with over 180,000 titles to choose from. A growing number of those titles are what we call Audible Originals. It's everything from regional theater, Broadway, off-Broadway material, one-woman, one-man shows, and a growing number of original productions are made especially for Audible Originals. Remember, no matter what the title is, you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you are hearing us on, at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, or iHeartRadio. So what you have to do is sign up for a one-month trial at audibletrial.com/televised. You get 3 free audiobooks, 2 of them being Audible Originals. And that's not all. Let's say you don't want the trial. You just go right ahead and enjoy what Audible has to offer in an annual subscription. Well, from now until Friday, you can get that annual subscription and save $50 off the price. That's right, $50 off the price. And again, all you got to do is go to audibletrial.com/televised. audibletrial.com/televised. And hear for yourself how Audible can transform the way you hear the world. This is Tomorrow Televised. We are the program All About the Tube with you Mondays and Fridays, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, sometimes other days as well. And we invite you to join us, make us a regular habit, especially now that we have a new month underway. Remember, we come your way 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Blog Talk, Radio, and Speaker. And when we come back, some key takeaways from what Apple had to say about their television initiatives last Monday. Plus, our second classic trivia winner in a row. We'll tell you who it is and give you the correct answer. And also, The Twilight Zone, the reboot of that classic series, nearly 60 years after the original premiered. Well, it started today on CBS All Access. And unfortunately, you will not find a producer on this program. We'll tell you all about that, too. It's all coming up after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You're listening to the best internet radio in the galaxy, www.blogtalkradio.com and Spreaker.com. More than 35 million listeners around the world every month and growing. BTR and Spreaker, your home for the January Jones Show. Check it out. Check out Success as well with January and Crew. Tomorrow, 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. And don't forget, best BTR and Spreaker available to you 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to more of Tomorrow Televised for this April Fool's Day 2019. That's April 1st, y'all. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. Delighted to have you with us and joining the first day of the month along with us. And we'd love to hear from you. You can still give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. So use the phone or the room. Either way, we will hear you. In a little bit, we will have our latest classic trivia question winner and the correct answer to the question we posed last week. But first, some takeaways about what happened 1 week ago today. We had a lot to say last week about what happened on this past Monday when Apple announced their TV initiatives, a couple of which were long in the making. We had a special roundtable 1 week ago, early evening. We had another hour of coverage on it this past Friday. Well, I had a week to digest what Apple had to say about Apple TV Plus and Apple Arcade and the other services they talked about over at their big Super Showcase event at Cupertino, California. Started with the likes of Oprah Winfrey and Steven Spielberg. And now I want to give you four takeaways that came out of that event. Here's the first. Maybe, just maybe, Apple now considers Apple TV a TV-connected device that millions of people use with over 10,000 applications. Maybe, at long last, Apple has concluded it's no longer a hobby. It's no longer an afterthought. It's no longer the fifth-class citizen next to the iPhone, the iPad, the iPod, Apple Watch, etc. But maybe it is an equal player. That will be very important to Apple's future. And it was very interesting, by the way, that Apple showcased a service like Apple News Plus that could very easily could be an Apple TV app. In fact, if you think about it, more than half of the event was devoted to Apple TV apps. And that is far, far more than what Apple has had to say about Apple TV in the last year at events like last Mondays. So good for them. Takeaway number two. The realization that if Apple TV Plus is going to work, if Apple Arcade, with the ability to offer over 100 games a month, of all different types. If these two services are going to work, they have to be presented on more than just Apple TV. They have to be available on other smart TV devices and smart TV sets. And it was great to see that that point was made. That smart TV set makers like LG and Samsung and Vizio and TV tech device like Roku are going to be right off the bat involved. So for the very first time, Apple is saying, you know what? It's not just our ecosystem that's important. It's the entire ecosystem of smart TV sets and devices that are now being used by over 3/4 of all U.S. television households. Number three, Apple Arcade. I thought of everything that was presented last Monday, this was the part of the presentation that was the best presented and the most exciting. I mean, think about it. Through your television set, with a controller, not a big console you have to spend $100 on, you'll be able to play some very high-quality games, over 100 every month, from some of the top developers in the business. And when you combine Apple Arcade with Stadia, the Google service that was announced the week before, you are left with one big conclusion. Interactive gaming has a great chance to be a major part of television's future. And they may not be the only ones to dictate that future. There is talk about Microsoft Electronic Arts, maybe Walmart, other companies getting in with similar services. And the developers seem to want to push this as much as people like Apple and Google. So keep your eye on Apple Arcade, folks. This could be a very big service for television. And number four, Apple TV Plus is aiming for a high bar. They are getting some outstanding storytellers, some outstanding series creators and producers, as well as some great talent in front of the camera, to create shows that are out to make a difference with their viewers. And Tim Cook, in particular, had a lot to say about that. He wants shows that are family-friendly. He wants shows that showcase social issues one way or the other. And he wants shows that anybody can see. Good for him. Good to see them go for a mandate. And incidentally, that was not lost on Jeff Mitski, the New Media Village tech columnist who we had this program a week ago. In fact, you should check out a column that he did late last week that features this whole social mandate that Apple TV Plus is up to causing. Great column, MediaVillage.com. And Jeff, by the way, was a wonderful guest on our show last Monday. Now takeaway number five. If Apple TV Plus is going to hold its own against the likes of Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, CBS All Access, Crackle from Sony, now Crackle Plus, and the competition coming up from the likes of Walmart, Disney with Disney Plus, Warner Media, all before the end of the year, and then next year CBS, Comcast, NBC Universal, and who knows who other players are going to be coming in, not to mention all the programming services of various niches and genres now available on smart TV sets and smart devices, like the Discovery Natural History Service that will go on those sets and devices next year. Apple TV has to do a better job, and a big job, of showcasing what it can do and the programs it will do than it did on Monday. For a company like Apple to offer the sneakiest of sneak peeks, to borrow Tim Cook and his metaphor, was really substandard. How substandard? I mentioned this last Monday. When Apple came out with their press release immediately after their event, there was not one word about any of the series that they showcased at that event. Not one word. No descriptions, no who's doing the shows, who's starring, not to mention all the shows they've greenlighted that are on the way and all the shows in development. Many of who have been leaked to the entertainment press over the last 12 to 15 months. Major mistake on the part of Apple's public relations and marketing crew. This is not the time for Apple to keep silent in between their own events. They have to get out there and talk up these projects. How? Let me offer a couple of ways. Do an all-day or half-day event here in New York and one in Los Angeles. You invite all the press, the TV press, the entertainment press, generalists, from the newspapers, the local radio stations, the TV stations, the entertainment websites, the tech websites. Get them all together. Bring on Tim Cook. Bring on Andy Hugh, the OC of Apple TV. Bring on Jamie Ehrlich and Zach Van Esburg, the heads of Apple TV+. Bring on the series producers and the stars, and let the press ask questions. Ask away about how these shows will work, how Apple TV will work, et cetera, et cetera. And do it for both New York and Los Angeles. In addition, work with the Paley Center, great organization in both locations. And again, be part of upcoming events there for both the public and for the media. And of course, don't forget, be part of the Television Critics Tour this summer in Los Angeles. This, I know this is a different thing in Apple's PR quiver. And it's a very unknown thing, but it has to be done. Because if you don't do it, you don't make your case, you are not going to find a lot of people who will want to see your product. and pay whatever you're going to be offering for that product. You've got to come clean, and you got to do it consistently, and you have to do it out front. This is no time to be silent until the next Apple event in Cupertino, California. The current way of doing business is not going to work. And that would be a shame if you go by that policy, because I think there's a lot for Apple TV Plus to offer. They've got some wonderful possible shows in the works. I am looking forward to the reboot of Amazing Stories. I think this show C has got great potential. I think some of the other shows I've read about could really be fantastic. One of the shows they didn't talk about in the development is the Isaac Asimov adaptation of his classic books, Foundation. I think it's a great science fiction epic that deserves to get the treatment that they could provide. And they have got a lot of great producers and creators on board, many of whom could do multiple shows for them. And, of course, Oprah Winfrey. And I promise you, she's going to do more than just those specials and that book club under the deal she has with Apple. So the bottom line for all these takeaways is this. Apple TV Plus, Apple Arcade, and maybe Apple News Plus could be the turning point for Apple TV to finally get major, major usage by the millions of people who currently own it, and in the case of Apple TV Plus, to really jumpstart more usage of smart TV sets and smart devices, currently in the billions of hours of apps and programming a month. Next move is up to Apple. I really hope they make the super choice to go public and not go silent. And I'd love to hear what you think. So please email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Please include your name and where you're from. You can also find me on Facebook. Communicate with me that way. Or on Twitter, at UBC Simon, TWBT. That's at UBC Simon, TWBT. And I want to thank all the people who have come aboard as Twitter followers over the last few weeks in regards to our programs. We really do appreciate you, and thank you for your support. All right, now it's time for our classic trivia question segment. And for the second week in a row, we have a winner. And that winner is Alan Bermanke from Guilford, New Hampshire. The question we posed on our program last Friday was this. What was the theme song on Family Matters? What was the name of the theme song on Family Matters, the popular long-running comedy first on ABC and then for one final season on CBS? The answer, As Days Go By, which was sung by Jesse Frederick. As Days Go By, that's the answer that Alan Bermanke had. And that man from Guilford, New Hampshire, is going to get the DVD of Season 1 of the former ABC Family series, The Secret Life of the American Teenager, starring Marlon Ringwald and Shailene Woodley, created by Brenda Hanson of Seventh Heaven fame. So that'll be coming your way, hopefully before the end of this week or on the weekend. And we thank you, Alan, for taking part. Appreciate it very much. Keep listening. Again, thanks to Alan Bermanke from Guilford, New Hampshire. He is our latest classic trivia question winner. We have another classic trivia question for you next Friday. If you know the answer, just like Alan, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and your full mailing address. So if you win, you, of course, can get the prize. And if you missed the question, by the way, we posted on Friday, have it on this program. You can always catch it the following morning on Facebook and on Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's the UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to play in. Please do. Just like Alan did, just like Hope Cochran did the week earlier. That's why they're winners. Let's see if we go for our third winner in a row this Friday. Again, that's on our episode 3 of UBC New Pacific right here on Tomorrow We Televise. And again, thank you for playing. Before we leave you today, one more comment. In case you've been in a foxhole, one of the classic television series of all time, and one that, for me, is the best dramatic series ever made, is back, nearly 60 years after the original first arrived in black and white, glorious black and white on CBS. Of course, I'm referring to The Twilight Zone. Nothing like that program. Rod Serling, one of the greatest writers ever to depict the human condition in his own special way, brilliantly produced, all sorts of classic episodes, many of which you can see on all over the place in syndication, YouTube, and of course on Sci-Fi twice a year. And now it is back in its third reincarnation thanks to Jordan Peele of Key and Peele fame, Get Out, and more recently his feature film hit, Us. And like the other two, of course, is Tales of the Human Condition in Science Fiction and Fantasy Ways. I have to tell you, it has gotten mixed reviews all over the country. Some people think this show is brilliant and maybe the best reboot of Twilight Zone yet. Others, they want to be convinced. I saw one of the episodes earlier today. It's called The Comedian. I liked it a lot. I liked the atmosphere. I liked the main performance. I really like Tracy Morgan's supporting performance. I think it's outstanding. And boy, is he sinister in that role. And I also like Jordan Peele and the way he's used as the Rod Serling type narrator. He's got it down. I really like this show. And I think when you see it, I think you'll like it too. The first two episodes are now being showcased on CBS All Access, and then they'll have an additional episode running every week. I really hope today that we would be able to have one of the executive producers of The Twilight Zone on this program. In addition to Peele, there are a lot of very good talents working on the show, including Carol Serling, Rod Serling's widow, Glenn Morgan of the X-Files fame, and someone who's been on this program several times, the Emmy Award-winning director and executive producer Greg Yatanis. And every time he's been on the show, he's been a terrific guest. We've tried for the last 3 weeks to get somebody from The Twilight Zone on this program. Anybody. Any of the executive producers. Well, we tried again this morning. We offered, since you can't do this episode, and our episode for Friday is already booked, come on next week. And basically the answer we got from CBS All Access was simple. Thank you for the interest. We're going to pass. I'm a bit heartbroken because I love The Twilight Zone. As I said, to me, it's if you were to ask me, what's your best TV series of all time, that would be it. No doubt, no hesitation. So I'm disappointed that we will not have somebody from this series on this program. What is even more disappointing is that this is the third year that CBS All Access has been around doing original series. And over that time, they have had a tremendous track record of original series. Star Trek Discovery, The Good Fight, No Vicinity, Strange Angel, Tell Me a Story. And every single time we have tried to get a guest, either but again, what I was saying was this. Over the last 3 years, CBS All Access has had a fantastic track record of original series, well-reviewed, and often critically acclaimed. Star Trek Discovery, The Good Fight, which many people think is superior even to the Good Wife series, Strange Angel, Tell Me a Story, No Activity, all of which have now been on for multiple or renewed for multiple seasons. And with every single show, the reaction is the same. Either we don't get an answer from CBS All Access PR people, or the PR people respond, thank you for your interest. No guests. We pass. I want you to know that we're not going to give up having CBS All Access talent on this program. So we're going to try to see if we can get some sort of meeting, some sort of conference call with the public relations people there. We have a very good relationship with CBS. We have a good relationship. We've just really established a new relationship with Showtime. And I'd really like to see, finally, CBS All Access talent get an opportunity on this program. So I'm taking the optimistic view, folks, not the discouraging view. And if you want to see CBS All Access talent on this program, please let the CBS All Access PR people know. I think that would help the cause. Okay? Okay. And we'll keep you posted. And that will do it for today's episode of Tomorrow Be Televised. Again, thank you to Robert Cooper, our guest from Unspeakable. He's the creator, executive producer, main writer, and main director, co-director. Remember, that program starts this Thursday and Friday, 9 p.m. West Coast, midnight East, on Sundance TV. Please see us. It's very, very special. Friday on Smart We Televised, we will have Dan Garcia and Michael Mayhall, the creators of the popular Every Movie Channel series, now Emmy-nominated Bronx SIU. And we'll also talk about Dan Garcia's new project for Every Movie Channel coming this summer. And we will have a wonderful musical half hour with the Emmy Award-winning composer of Fargo and the new Netflix hit, The Umbrella Academy, Jeff Russo. And from This Is Us on NBC, Siddhartha Khosla. That's all coming up Friday, 3 Babies New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. If you came in late on today's program, you want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to the homepage. You know what it is, blogtalkradio.com/televised. www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while you're at it, check out the podcast version. Invite others to do so, too. We're available 24/7 on iTunes, Apple TV, Speakers Podcast app, and, of course, the iHeartRadio Podcast Network at www.iHeartRadio.com. What do you think about our program today? What's your thoughts about what Apple wants to offer, both with Apple Arcade and Apple TV Plus? And what is your general thoughts about where TV is at and where it's going? I'd always love to know. So email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Please include your name and where you're from. Don't forget, that's how you get into our classic trivia question every week. And we also have a feature called The Show to Know. Is there a TV program that you like that doesn't get enough attention in your view? Well, let us know. If we use suggestion on the air, you get the credit. It's an ongoing feature, so there's always an opportunity for you to be involved. Again, it's simonapple04@yahoo.com. You can also communicate on Facebook, and you can find me on Twitter at UBCSimonTWBT. Again, that's UBCSimonTWBT. We have almost 700 followers by now, and thank you very much to all the new followers that have come around over this past month. Remember, we love hearing from you. I do respond within 24 hours, no matter where the communication goes. And remember, what you say matters. Why? It's really that important, and we care for you. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants, not only those of Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, and iHeartRadio. Our production associate is BTR's Kenneth Williams, Andy Toes, Blog Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Sottenberg, executive content producer. The co-founders of BTR are Alan Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow Be Televised was brought today by Audible.com, proud development partner of the annual New York Television Festival, and an Amazon company. Remember, Audible transformed the way you hear the world. For three free audiobooks and a one-month trial, it's audibletrial.com/televised. And if you want to just go up for an annual subscription, remember, until this Friday, you can save $50 off the annual. Again, we apologize for the late